Und so der.
Not
der. Schade, so groß. Hey, du. Seltzer, I don't have any left, so consider yourself lucky. I think what we're going to do is, initially when I started this chibur, I had no idea what it would turn into or if anyone would enjoy it, but it seems like we're really enjoying learning together. So I think we're going to do 2 more weeks of Orot HaTshuvah. Again, not that we will have learned all of it, not that there isn't a lot more to be seen, but I think that, between what we have done and a few more pieces that I kind of found, which I think kind of fill out Rav Cook's philosophy on Shuva and the way that he looks at it, I think that we'll have a good sense of kind of the unique role that Shuva plays for Rav Cook in the world. And then I think we'll do something on Purim, the week of Purim. And then after that week, we'll start to maybe move on to Rav Cook in other areas. I think, at least I know the Janais were asking me about, learning about Rav Cook and the way he views Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So certainly that could be something that we, I would love to, learn together in Rav Cook on history, Rav Cook on Am Yisrael. There's a lot of different things that, Rav Cook has a lot to say about, and a lot of unique things to say about. So I think that after Purim, we'll kind of take it in a bit of like a more just different direction of different ideas from Rav Cook. So the next 2 weeks, I found like, top 8 or 10 other things that we haven't seen. We'll go through maybe, 2 or 3 today, 2 or 3 next time, and then that'll kind of be a Orot HaTshuvah for now. Still encouraged to continue to learn it and to continue to think about it and continue to do it. Do it. Or tap into it, right? It's happening. Just do it, right?
Thank you.
Just,
okay.
All right. So, sound good? Okay, awesome. So, I think 8 or 9 of these, 8 of these are things we haven't seen. I was like, I realized as I was going back through these that one of them we learned. And I was like, why does it sound familiar? It sounds familiar because we learned it. So, but most of these things are new. And again, they're not going to be brand new ideas, but certainly I think that they add another element. And hopefully at the end we'll kind of have a sense of shlemus, of completion. Okay, so this first one here at the top right, this is the middle of piece gimel in Parakeh, and Rav Cook says Ha'olam Muchrachu Lavo Lidei Tshuva Shlema. The world is Muchrach. It for sure, inevitably, is going to come to a complete tshuva. Right? It's going to come to Shlemu. It's going to come to perfection by way of tshuva. Ein Ha'olam Davar Omed Al Matzav Echad. The world does not stay in one matzav, in one state of being, one situation. It doesn't. It's not static. Ki'im, rather. Holeichu mit pateach. It constantly evolves, constantly moving. Vehit patchut, and this evolution. Rav Cook might be using evolution to kind of like strip a little bit, that this is the real evolution. Ha'amitit, the true evolution, hashlema, which is complete, muchrachat hi lahavi lo etzabriut hagmura. It's going to come, inevitably, lahavi, to bring the complete health, hachamit varuchanit, in spirituality and in physicalness, and in physicality. And it brings the light of tshuva with it. So what Rav Cook is kind of showing us is that, and this is something maybe we already intuited and we spoke about at times, but specifically addressing the fact that the world is moving constantly and consistently, evolving towards this complete state of tshuva, right? And it's only through tshuva. Man, how's it going? And only through tshuva.
You guys dress each other tonight?
Yeah.
No, that's not.
You didn't get the memo?
No, I'm blue and yellow. I'm different. The truth is that he's saying that only through tshuva, through the process, through the actions of tshuva and the process of tshuva, we're going to come to a complete tshuva. And I guess if you think about Tanakh a little bit, right? You think about how many episodes of Tanakh from the outset seem, disgusting or hard to understand. Troubling, at first glance, and you think about David HaMelech and Bathsheba, you think of Lot and his daughters, you think of Yehuda and Tamar, and you think of the, you know, how they are viewed when you first read them, and on the other hand, you realize that the entire world is moving via tshuva to a complete tshuva, then these stories are really the crux, are really the foundation of what God's doing in order to bring us closer and closer and closer and closer. Because only through these breaks, so to speak, come the fixings. And a break and a fix and a break and a fix and a break and a fix is ultimately the process that's moving us closer and closer. So we think about our own lives for a sec, and you think about, you know, a challenge that you had in a relationship with someone, or, you know, a moment, you know, that was challenging in terms of relationship with God. Those moments of challenge, those breaks, so to speak, when eventually you get past it and the rope reties, so it gets closer and closer and closer together. I've even heard the metaphor, it's like a rope that keeps getting cut and you have to keep retying it, and then it gets shorter and shorter and shorter. So that's exactly kind of what's happening, so to speak, that through tshuva we're getting to this ultimate tshuva, because only with those breaks, both in history and in our lives, we move towards this end, which can only be happen through those breaks. To that degree, Chazal have a statement that in the Medrash that when Reuven was, you know, involved in, you know, meddling in his father's marriage, when Yehuda was with Tamar, that Hashem was busy preparing the Oros HaMashiach, was busy preparing the light of Mashiach. And I think that kind of, this Chazal kind of fits in with what we're saying, that it was in those moments, right, those moments which were very downtrodden moments in Tanakh, but certainly those were dafka the moments that we were like building this rope even closer together and even stronger. So that was the first piece I wanted to see, just that this idea that it's constantly evolving, the idea from Chava, the idea that it's constantly evolving, the idea that it's only tshuva that's making it evolve, and ultimately it's those breaks that'll bring us make the closest between us and God, the distance smaller and smaller, closer and closer, and ultimately getting us to the ultimate shleimus, the ultimate tshuva, which is Mashiach. Okay, let's look at another one.
Page 2.
This is a short line, but a very important one. Rav Kook says, "Kol chet, every chet, afilu akal sheba chataim, even the smallest and tiniest of chataim, matbia bekerav haadam sinah le'ezo bria." Implant in a person sinah, hatred, towards some other form of creation. Could be a person, could be God, could be an institution. I mean, you can get creative with what la'ezo bria means. And only through tshuva does the love come back to illuminate this person. Okay, so this is an unbelievable. Let's just unpack this for a sec. Chet, Rav Kook is saying, is a separation. Let's start with that. It separates you from whatever it is that the chet affected, right? If I have a chet vis-a-vis my wife or vis-a-vis my student or vis-a-vis a friend or a family member, so then that distances me from that person. Okay, a little bit. From God also, it distances us from God a little bit. What that creates, though, because of the interconnectedness both of the world as a whole and the connection that I have with people in my life or with God, so then it creates this separation that forms a sinah within me, right? Psychologically, you would say it's because I'm mad at them. I don't like the state that I'm in that relationship, and so I feel anger towards that person or towards God. So you could say that on a psychological level, that is true, that oftentimes when we kind of blame our situation or need something to push our feelings onto, it'll be another person in a relationship. But I think we also just don't like feeling separated. If the closest is something that we care about, and certainly in our important relationships and friends and family and with God, we care about it tremendously, so in the disconnection, we don't like it. We dislike it very much. And so the only way for us to kind of come to terms with that uncomfortable feeling that we have is that we create sinah. We hate that other, whatever that other is. And then the only way to be able to return that sin'ah back to ahava, the only way to get rid of that is to do tshuva. So whatever tshuva we're doing in that relationship is going to slowly melt away the sin'ah that we have and bring it towards ahava. And it's kind of in tandem with the fact that, right, distant to being even closer together, that's how the sin'ah gets wrapped up and covered by the ahava. Let's look at the commentary on the bottom here. It's the bottom piece. It starts with it's the big letters achet v'sinah to mitziyut. So says the commentary says in the non bold letters chet u'shimush me'uvat b'koach chayim. Sin chet is a utilization or an engagement with the crookedness, or it's you're kind of bending the strength of life. The regasha adam yotzer ivat bechayav ivut. When a person creates like a bend, a twist in his life, oto koach chayim, that strength of life that exists, b'tzura hametukanet v'ha bri'ah shelo, in a way of connectedness between him and all of creation. So na'asa lo zar u'miruchak, the person feels estranged and distant. Okay, again, because of this interconnectedness that is life and that we are connected to, because of this strength, the strong bond we have with everything else. So when you do something against that, so you feel estranged and distant. Kasher hu yifgash im oto koach chayim chiyuvi hu yachush nigud u'mavak. And now when a person encounters that life force, that interconnectedness, it's a struggle. Right? Because if I have to wake up in the morning and face the person who I did something that made a little bit of a break in our relationship, so then it feels like, it feels a struggle. Every interaction is a struggle. Every moment is challenging. Every instance that I'm connecting with that person or with God is uncomfortable. And because of that, l'dugma, he says, here's an example, adam shepogim b'diburav. Let's say a person speaks negatively. Kasher hu yishma dibur naki v'yafe. Let's say a person then goes and hears somebody else who speaks very, in a good way. Hu yichush ritia v'zarut klapav. What does ritia mean? Feels distant, like ambivalent, bizarut, and it's like a stranger, klapav, in regards to this person, right? So the very thing that he struggles with, speaking nicely, having a clean lashon, right? I heard Rabbi Heller speak about. Did he speak about this on Shabbat? I heard it come in the last minute. He was speaking about like the speech or something.
Yeah. Oh, to be a mensch. On Shabbos day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he talked about. Johnny, were you there? Oh, you were there in the afternoon.
Well, I was thinking the afternoon.
I was there in the morning.
But he did speak about
the afternoon. I just came in then. And he was talking about...
Yeah. The mensch was...
Just about behaviors, like being late.
The mensch was in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Called... Yeah, D4. He did talk about...
I used to call the last line. Okay, so...
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So, but once you encounter that person who does have that attribute down, who has that trait... You know, and is confident in that. So in that sense, klape that person, in regards to that person, you feel strange and distant. But ofen lomoda, in a way that you're unaware, what happens? Adibur anaki, this person's clean speech, okay? Ve'elu hamotzi'im otob mibim, and all those who speak cleanly, yafchu lo'iva, become his enemies. In other words, I can think of all the people, all the things that I struggle with in my life. I mean, you know, just to be personal for a second, anything that I struggle with in my life, there are moments where I am angry at the people who don't struggle with it. Right? It's natural. We are uncomfortable with what we're unable to do. And when we meet someone who is very comfortable or confident in that area, it makes us so uncomfortable that we turn it into hate of that person.
Look at this pompous guy, the way he speaks.
He thinks he's the man. Exactly.
Speaking with such beautiful words.
Right, exactly. And in that way, we turn everyone who has a koach that we don't have into an enemy of ours. And only if we start to work on it, right, you start to think, well, I want to work on my speech. So then that guy, all of a sudden, you know, he's your friend, he's a good guy. Look at the way he's... Yeah, right, idol or a role model, right, absolutely.
Idol's a strong
one. Idol's a strong
one. Number two.
And many others. I learned with the boys this year the story of Miriam and Aaron speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe. So a lot of Mefarshim, you know, it's one of those stories in Tanakh that exactly what they did is incredibly cryptic. The Tanakh doesn't say what they did. I mean, it said it has to do with his wife, and that he married his wife. And even if it's his wife or if it's some other lady, is also not clear.
And they call her Isha Hushit,
which is a little bit puzzling because she, right. So again, we learned a lot of different Mefarshim, and but one of the interesting things that we learned together is the Chovot HaLevavot has an unbelievable explanation as to what motivated Miriam once she heard, right, according to the Midrash, that she heard that Moshe and Tzipora didn't have sexual relations, right? She heard that. So once she heard that, right, from Tzipora, she ran and told Aaron. So a lot of people are wondering what motivated her to tell Aaron, right? Assuming the Midrash that that's the story, and then that's the shot, what motivated her to run? She had to tell Aaron right away. And she had to tell Aaron, not only in general, like, this exists, but she had to say it in some level of a disparaging way to kind of look down or put down Moshe. So the Chovot HaLevavot says, and you know, the boys really identified this as human nature, that when you yourself see someone else as kind of on a higher level than you in any area, right? Miriam was a Nivea. She was married. She had a relationship with her husband. Realized that Moshe does have relations with his wife. Well, it's almost like my Kedusha, which I thought was, you know, pretty good. I'm pretty holy. It's not like Moshe's. The only way for her to come, for someone to come to terms with them being less than someone else is to put down the person who's higher than them, right? And that settles it. I know for myself, that definitely settles it. And it's almost like a psychological understanding of what motivated Miriam to want to go and tell Aaron, because to be able to talk about Moshe in that negative way would now make, you know, her feel that her Kedusha is not something that's negative. It's something that you know, she's doing it right and he's... I think that's what Rav Kook is describing, that creates the sinah between us and other people. And instead of making the mistake to just leave those people as our enemies, leave those people as the ones who are negative us, against us, turn those people into our friends and start to think about how to work on the things that we struggle with. And then, you know, we'll certainly love the people around us a lot more. And it's true with God too. It really is true with Hashem. You know, I think that when we do things that are against what we know Ratzon Hashem to be, so we feel disconnected from God and we get frustrated at God. You know, a lot of times, I'm sure, you know, anyone who's been in yeshiva has talked to you guys, I'm angry at God. Well, you very well might be, but a lot of that frustration oftentimes comes from the fact that a person has distanced themselves very far from Ratzon Hashem. And the way to come to terms with that is to kind of feel a lot of frustration. Sometimes the only way to deal with the frustration is just to kind of bring yourself a little bit closer to what Ratzon Hashem is, and the frustration will subside a little bit. So it's something to think about.
It's really astute human behavior. It's really astute psychologically.
It is, right?
It really is. It's very modern.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Baruch. Okay, number three. So, this is kind of similar to what we saw before, but kind of jumping out and looking at this interconnectedness in a maybe more global way. I don't know if we'll do this whole paragraph, Gimel, but let's at least start it. So, says Rav Kook, Kol Chet Madiv Et Halev. Every chait is painful for the heart. The translations, like in the middle of the commentary, it says ma'atziv, it makes him sad, down, depressed, downtrodden. Why? Mivnei shahu soter et ha'achdut shebena ishiut hapratit im kol havaya kula. Because why does a person feel a sense of pain, a sense of sadness, a sense of unworthiness? Because it contradicts, it goes against, it almost destroys the connection, the interconnectedness that exists between Ha'ishiyut, meaning each individual personality, Ha'pratit, I guess, yeah, each individual person, with all of existence. We are interconnected with all of existence. Again, this is not my forte about exactly how that works, but certainly to some degree, partly if our neshama all includes, you know, a part of God, so then certainly with the rest of the Jewish people were created, that's the easy one to explain. But God created everything. So really, there's a little bit of godliness in everything, even in non-Jews, even in plant and animal life, or there's godliness in everything. And to that degree, all of creation is interconnected and interdependent on each other. So on a why does a person feel pain or sadness when they experience, when they do chet, when they're engaged in chet? Because they feel disconnected from what is this interconnectedness between that person and all of creation, all of reality. Let's look at the commentary here at the bottom. It's the first paragraph under the bold words. He says, "Hamitziyut benuya ba'ofen yashar." Existence is built in a very direct and straight way. Haratzon ha'eloki mit mash mit mamesh. The ratzon of God is felt. Bitsura malea b'teva is felt in this kind of full way in all of nature. Lilo chariga, lilo hakala biyoter. There's chariga is without any exception. Lilo hakala biyoter, and no, like, and it's very comfortable, right? It's very at peace, I guess. In other words, there's a certain comfort and peacefulness and harmony, maybe, of all of creation. Ha'adam, but human beings, who are yetsura yechid sheyesh lo yecholet bechira. Human beings are the only creations that have free choice. Va'al yada hu mesugal lehitchaber l'seder haloki ha'shochein b'mitziut ol lechet konekto. Therefore, only human beings have the ability to lehitchaber, to connect themselves to the order of godliness that exists in the world, or to go against it. Meaning, when a dog does what a dog does, he is doing Ratzon Hashem 100% of the time. And when, you know, when anything that's plant or animal life.
No, but when an sentient being, if it does, it has a choice.
But exactly, right. It's doing exactly what God wants, right? It's teva, right? It's funny, the first plant I was going to say, and then I stopped myself because I was like, no one's going to know what that is, but I was going to say Devil's Club. Devil's Club was this really spiky plant that existed in Alaska where I lived, and like it was so scary because it had these like spikes everywhere. Whatever, that was just what I thought at first. That means I still have some trauma, I guess, from my childhood. But anything that's plants or animal, so it does Ratzon Hashem automatically because human beings have this free choice. So then they have the ability to be able to either be in line with the natural harmony, peacefulness, calm of all creation, or be against it. That's in their choice. It's amazing to realize what free choice means. It doesn't just mean I do good or I do bad. It's like you're either in line and, you know, kind of with everything that's going on, the interconnectedness of the harmony of all creation, or you're against it. Hate, he continues, the third to last line, Hua pe'ilot shela adam benigo l'seder ha'harmoni b'bria. And therefore, what is the definition of hate? It's actions, the actions of human beings that go against the order, the harmonious order of creation. Hatotzah shel ha'halicha neged ha'zerem. Zerem. Right. The outcome of going against the current is what's the outcome? Like, once I go against the current, so what happens to me? Nothing. No. Hu atzvut, sadness, v'dav on lev, and I don't know, anguish maybe, or
heavy heart,
right? So we experience that is chet when we are engaged in chet. So we're really disconnecting ourselves from this flow that is all of creation all the time, this interconnectedness that is Ratzon Hashem. All of plant and animal life is kind of moving and just doing Ratzon Hashem and moving us closer and closer. And I step out of the traffic, or whereas I go against the current, right? I go against the waves. So I remember being a kid, you go to those water parks, and they have the pools that would like be going a direction. Yeah, Lazy River, sorry. It's been a long time. Baruch Hashem. Okay. So the lazy river, so you try to go against it. Like, it's very hard. And we would think it's funny, but then a bunch of people would come down it and you'd have to, like, continue to go. So the truth is that when you step out, so that's painful. Or it's sadness. And what Cook is then describing is that the sadness isn't just a random sadness. It's not just depression. It's not just guilt. It's not just an arbitrary emotion that we have. It's because you are doing something which makes you out of line with the natural flow and harmony of all creation.
That's very deep.
Think about that next time you do something wrong. Right?
Yeah.
So it's a lot bigger, and that explains some of the sadness and some of the negativity we might associate with Kate.
And why, I mean, to be more psychological, it's like classic in teenagers when they're doing bad things, or kids are doing, they're not happier when they're acting out. They're sadder, and, you know, when they know, when they've stepped out of the right trend, they know, and it's just, there's no sad, you know, you just see, you feel unhappiness and sadness. People,
right,
but particularly
right.
Teens, because they're like...
Right, right.
So, it's classic, it's amazing.
Right, it's painful, it's like...
amazing psychological.
Yeah. I see students all the time. You know, there's some students who are just in line with the program, and they're very besimcha, they're very happy. You know, like some who are even in line with the program aren't happy. But in general, like the students who are always fighting and battles and battles and battles. I'm like, if you just hold the line, your life would be so much easier. I promise. You'd come to school, you'd enjoy school, and you'd go home, just do your homework, take your tests, and stop. You know. So, but it's true that, like, going against what is expected of you in a certain environment is uncomfortable, and it could bring frustration and sadness and whatever emotion you want to attach to it, and it exists on a parental level. We know your parents are, you know, disappointed in what you're doing. It can exist on a God level because the harmony that exists in the world as a whole, or in your home, or in the school, or in your work, going against that, brings this atzfut v'da'avon lev. And Rav Kook continues, so then, what's the cure? Right? What's the cure? It says Rav Kook in the second line, back in the text itself, U'mitrapehu rak al yedei tshuva. So, then the answer is tshuva, right? Get with the program. If you get with the program, this whole thing's healed. No more atzfu, no more da'avon lev. Shezareach halav, tshuva's gonna shine, zareach, yeah, shine on him, ba, or hashefa ha'elyon, this light... Of the this abundance of light, Elyon, like supernatural, supernal light. Shall I idealiut ha idealiut? Okay, asher lahavayat hametziut of all that is the ideal of all reality, meaning the light of godliness, the shefa of ideal light. Is the harmony of creation. So it's natural. Once you get back into the lazy river, once you get back into the, you know, into the flow of traffic, so it's light. It's light. Well, it's not just random light. It's light because now, you know, it's almost like the circuit is now connected and now the light bulb goes on. It's a natural light that's experienced once you're a part of the puzzle and a part of the current. Uvazen says Rav Kook, uvazeh chozeret ha-hashvaya Hashvaya, and this, the equality comes back. Haklalit, the general equality. Vahat, the hahat ama, lahavaya lahofia betocho. The hatama is like connection? Reconciliation. I don't even know that word in English. Okay. The reconciliation between you and, I guess, lahavaya in existence, right?
Reconciliation.
I don't even get the joke. I guess I'm cheating on my taxes. I don't know.
Cheshbon. Okay, that's all. It's just cheshbon.
I remember my parents doing that. They had to, you know, write down the thing. So this what comes back? Equality. The general equality that. And that's like a reconciliation between you and everything else, v'shav v'rapalo, and it comes back and it heals with. Meaning, equality, I think, here is balance. There's a certain balance that creation is supposed to have, but it's a balance that's flowing. So, I don't know, there's like a million metaphors to use, they all don't work, but they all kind of... So, it's a balance, right? It's because it's a balance, so, again, not the scary tshuva scale, right? The Rav Kook's not talking about that, you know, the sins and the... Which one's higher? That's not this. But the balance of creation comes back, and because that balance of creation comes back, so then you know, everything's now in alignment, so to speak. And he says, Amnam. Amnam, he says, Yesod Hatsar, therefore the foundation of the pain, Einenu Me'etzem Achet. And we spelled this out before, but now he's going to say it. It's not from the chet itself. Don't think that when a person keeps Shabbos, they're not keeping Shabbos that's creating the tzar. No, that's a symptom of something much greater. Chet b'vado. It's not just the chet itself. Ki'im yisodo shel chet u'mitochen mahalach hanefesh. It is the kind of path of the soul that is kind of, I guess it's the foundation of the chet and the path of the soul that's being affected. Right? That is being now pulled in this opposite direction of reality. In other words, your neshama, we've talked about this at the very beginning, the first class when we were in the Beit Midrash, right? The neshama is what's natural for it. Physically, it can say things to us, and spiritually, it can say things to us. So what's really happening when you engage in chet? It's not, the pain is that the flow of the neshama is being stopped, right? Before we were just talking about us, and it is us, but it's us vis-a-vis what our neshama is trying to connect with, trying to engage with, the balance, the harmony that it's trying to be in line with. And so that tsar is not from the chet itself, but rather it's the foundation of this chet, which is the path of the soul that has been reversed. And the soul is uncomfortable. It knows something is wrong.
It's the slippery slope. The soul is telling you. It's not this particular head. It's the fact that you're going in that direction.
Right.
That I'm not happy with.
Right. And now a lot of the conversations we've had at the beginning about physical tshuva, and you can understand now, like, really what's driving it is because the neshama is saying, I don't like this, this is uncomfortable, I'm out of line, I'm out of balance with all of the Bria, and now that I'm out of line, I'm gonna try to express it to you. So, okay, so sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's spiritual, but that's what's driving the neshama to communicate.
I'm out of filter and I'm making miserable.
Shaytani.
Oh, well, oh, yeah, okay. Give his wife's number. I have this on recording. No, I'm saying I have it recorded. It's right here. Minute.
She's
minute 31. Minute 31.
He's rocking after all. There you go. We're gonna label.
I don't think you're scaring him.
The truth is it's definitely uncomfortable for Arnold Sharma. And Rav Kook just finished, and this will be the last line we'll do in this piece. He says, "Hazarachat pe'or ha'yashar eloki b'chol ha'matzui ha'me'organ b'achtut v'kivun m'uleh." This light, this direct godly light, shines in all of existence. Ha'me'organ, what is me'organ?
Organized.
Are you serious?
Really?
What is an organization?
Oh, that's why. Oh, all right, cool. Thank you. Jewish history, we got philosophy, everything. So mi'organ, it's organized ba'achdut v'kivun me'uleh, in a direction that's me'uleh, that's like unbelievable, that's superior. In other words, Hashem created a seder, a kivun, a direction to all creation. And so therefore, this light that's shining, we now experience, which is ultimately what we're looking for. Yeah. Okay. The next one is Chazara. I think I wrote on the top Chazara. Did I write Chazara on your page? Yeah, Chazara. So I don't think we'll do it because it's Chazara, or we can do it. I don't know, but it's definitely a good one to review. Maybe we'll just do number. No. Okay. No. Okay. Fine. So it's Chazara, but it's again. This is the kind of bet was the piece that we spoke about, where every single aspect of our lives has the ability to be a part of this flow of tshuva. Culture, history, right? Okay. All right, let's go to number six.
That was
was my favorite page. You really have to work on your stapling.
What do you mean? What happened?
Is this six?
I get my client. Okay. He sends me back statements in English, but they stapled it on the right.
That's what it is.
Why? Because they're Israeli?
Hebrew stapling.
So they used the stapling on the right.
That's funny. That's funny. I don't know. Truth is, I just put it in the copier and it came out. So I don't know what happens in between. I don't know. Okay. So we're gonna do in six. We're gonna skip to the bottom of the right page, where it says Tshuva ba'amishifat. It's the beginning of that second paragraph.
You okay?
Yeah, lips. Hatshuva ba'a.
Want a cookie?
Yeah, no one touched the cookies. Joe brought cookies.
I'll open the cookies.
open.
That's perfect.
Huh? Yeah, where's the tea, Jim? Oh, the tea's over there.
Okay, now you have to get.
Okay, here we go. Hatshuva ba'am mishifat hamet. Amen. Hatshuva ba'a mishifat hametziyut kula liyot yoter tova u mizukechet. Tshuva, actions of tshuva, moments of tshuva, thoughts of tshuva, come from the desire, the shi'ifa, the ratzon, the will, hametziyot kula, of all of existence, to be better and more mizukechet, more pure. Or pure, right? Shemen Zayit Zach, right? Pure oil. So all of creation has an inherent desire to do good and to be good, right? Imagine if you viewed the whole world and everyone in it like that, right? Everyone has that desire, a very strong desire, and that desire is, maybe it's a conscience, whatever it is, that desire is what motivates us to do tshuva. Yoter chasina, umuleh mimashihi, much greater and more superior than what he is, he or she is in that moment. Betoch chefet zeh, inside this desire, chavi koach chayim, shall hitgabrut al hamida hamugbelet, shall havayav al ha. We have time with this, Daniel. Inside of this desire is chavui, is hidden. In other words, I guess inside of this ratzon that we have is hidden koach chayim, a life force of the hitgabrut, of the kind of becoming stronger. Al hamida hamugbelet shel ahavaya v'achushoteh. This life force, which kind of drives us to be stronger and greater than the mukbal. And mukbal is limitation, right? So greater than the limitations of existence and its weaknesses. In other words, what Rav Kook is telling us is that we have this...
Hidden.
Okay, fine. So what Rav Kook is telling us is that inside this desire we have to be better is the fact that life, there, we want to be stronger than, we want to overcome all of the innate weaknesses and limitations that our existence is. For human beings, we have a lot of challenges, we have a lot of failings, we have a yetzer hara, we have physical desires, we have, you know, we're interconnected with people in the world. Everything, so much of what it means to a human being is it creates a very, very challenging environment. But this overcoming of this limitation that we have, the overcoming of the weaknesses that are inherent in us, so it's a koach ha-chaim that we have, which is a part of our ratzon.
Part of our ratzon?
skipped over chasina, like it was an easy word. And
what does chasina mean?
So chisun is a
injection. Inoculation.
What's that?
So,
oh, yeah, you know what that is. You don't know what that is.
Chasina, chasina is immune.
Immune.
I don't know how it fits there. More immune. I guess because it's pure, so it's immune to the badness. I think that my first impression of that was it came from Fasun, which is the vaccination.
I guess if you think about what an immunization is you're now...
You're taking in bits of things that you're taking in, the particle that actually...
You're protected from the bad environment.
But you're actually...
Right, because ultimately what are we trying to do? We're trying to be purified, but what we're trying to do is to become kind of immune or above all of the bad. Right? Immune to all the bad. But immune doesn't mean we don't experience the bad, we don't have the bad, it just means I'm immune to it. So if what's going on is that I have all these choshoteh, I have all these weaknesses, I have all these limitations. But all of these things, there's a koach chaim in me that's striving to just want to overcome them and be better than. So then that ultimately gets me to a place where I'm yoter chasina umu'ula. I'm more immune to all the weaknesses and limitations in my life. And I am above, I am superior to them. Yeah, does that seem like it fits? I guess I'm fine. Right, they kind of say that this is, I mean, this isn't really exactly my forte, but this idea of there's a spot where if you hit a student, with learning at exactly his level, so then he'll want to strive hard enough to be able to overcome it, but it's not too high that it's gonna suppress him, right? Called the zone of proximal development. Yeah? Right? So it's kind of this, that we have this koach ha-chaim, and this natural koach ha-chaim, when it's faced with limitations and weaknesses that are not too strong, that are not too intense, so then we have this koach ha-chaim that wants to overcome them. Even the ones that are probably way beyond us, we still want to, but I don't know, maybe we don't feel the koach ha-chaim, or we can't, but either way, that certainly exists in us. And it says of Kuk, Chuva, Chuva Pratit, he says, Shala Adam Yachid, and therefore the individual Chuva of each singular person, and Kal Vachomer Shal Tzibur, right, and all the more so of the community, and I'll explain that Kal Vachomer in a second, Sho Evati et Kocha Mimikor Chaim Ze, it derives its strength from the source of life, Shehu Poel Tamid. That it kind of constantly and consistently acts with its strength in a pu'ula bilti posekin, in a way that doesn't stop. In other words, okay. So again, what Rav Kook's explaining to us is that the tshuva of the individual and the tshuva of the community, okay, where do they draw their drive? Where do they draw their life force? Where do they draw their ratzon to be able to conquer all the limitations and all their weaknesses? Well, they drive it from this koach ha-chaim that our cook's describing that we have in each of us to be able to become better than what we are. And this... This koach ha-chaim is constantly reverberating. It's built upon second. It doesn't stop. And because it doesn't stop, so at any point which we tap into it, at any point we engage in it, so then we're going to have the ability to be able to overcome our mugbelet and choshotel, our weaknesses, our limitations. What that means then is that the ability to overcome anything that I'm challenged by is not beyond me, it's within me. Okay? And I guess... To that degree, right? That strength, that life force, is always going. I just have to tap into it. I think that the Kal Vachomer here is interesting. What does he mean that the community draws its life force? I guess the individual draws its life force, and all the more so, the community draws its life force from this. So I was listening to a shiur. I recommend it. Well, I guess I recommend the whole series. There's a series right now going on at BRS, Boca Raton Synagogue, called 20th Century Moments That Mattered. And it's like a rotation where we go to Rabbi Moskowitz and two other Rebbeim who are amazing speakers who are in the community. And they're just going through moments in the 20th century that were really significant. And each one is unbelievable. And for many of you, there's certain ones that you probably actually experienced. The one I just recently listened to was the demonstration surrounding Soviet Jewry and the falling of the Iron Curtain. So apparently I wasn't there, but everyone in the room raised their hand and said we were at the demonstrations.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Sure.
Zach and I are like, Sean, I don't know, you're too young, right? Like, we're all too young. So,
Steve Jacoby told Sharansky that he was responsible for most of his social life in the 80s. Steve Jacoby said you were responsible for most of my life. Oh. I was at Plaza most of the 80s. Thank you very much.
That's really funny. So one of the – why did I get on it? Oh, right. So one of the things that Rabbi Goldberg – Rabbi Goldberg gave this one, so it was specifically unbelievable. He was saying that the strength, like almost mass demonstration didn't happen in the same. That was really the impetus for so much of the advocacy work that we have today. So much of pro-Israel advocacy, the beginnings, both in terms of what we do as well as the individuals who are now like some of the big social justice or Israel advocates, a lot of people got their roots in this Soviet Jewry movement. Why? Because the community, the strength of a mass of individuals, so the strength that they have, right, you feel it almost in a much stronger and more intense way. And what people are able to accomplish when they join together, so it's very, very intense. So it's yes, the individual draws his strength from this natural sense of wanting to overcome limitations. But when people get together, that strength is 100 times right. Exactly, this octave is very intense, and it's very strong, and it can do things which the individual can't do on his own. And it's because the life force that is drawing, it's not like each individual person is drawing life force. It's like the life force is almost the sum total of everybody, and that becomes something very, very intense.
It happens at concerts too.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that I can relate to. Yeah, that I can relate to.
It happens at concerts.
It's the board.
You know, the whole. At some point, it becomes...
The mosh pit.
Oh, okay.
Sporting events.
Yeah, assume sporting events.
Well, not Florida sporting events, but if the team's really good.
Right.
You know?
funny.
Yeah, I was at one sporting event in my life where I felt that. I was at a rivalry between Oregon and Oregon State, and like, you know, interstate collegiate rivalries are very, very intense. I felt that. The intensity. But certainly that's for Narishkeit, because it's just whatever. But, you know, for something which is unbelievable, so then the strength, you really tap into the Koach HaChaim. And so, you know, we all have it in us. It's just a question of tapping into it. And once we tap into it, we have everything inside of us to be able to overcome all of our Mug Belet, and all of our Chushotel, all of our limitations and weaknesses. And then we'll be Chasina, immune. Shkoach.
Wow, that's
Shkoach.
It?
Oh, just...
I want another 5 more minutes.
Okay, fine. We can do more.
4 minutes. I'll have another cookie.
Okay, we can. I just haven't looked at it yet. But if we can... What's next?
Wow, not all right. Good, that's
7.
You got to give us homework.
Yeah, no, we could do 7. Vienna, you just have to help me out with it. Okay.
Okay.
Wow, unbelievable. Okay. Hateva ha'olami, the nature of the world. V'chol ha'yetzir prati, and each individual person in it. Ha'historia ha'enoshi, the personal history. V'chol ish yechidi u'ma'asav, and each person and his... What?
Humanity.
Historia ha'enoshit is... Oh, the history of humanity? Oh, enoshit, right. Okay. So let's try that again. So the nature of the world and every individual creation... And the history of humanity, and each individual person and his actions. So, like the global and the individual. Srichim liot misukarim beskira achat.
So, from Seker.
Curious?
No.
Okay. Oh.
No.
Seker is a research.
They need to be kind of.
They need to be researched in one research.
Oh, in other words, it's all part of the same study.
Don't put the individual and humanity
separate.
Ah, okay, fine. The next line, that makes sense.
Them together.
Right. Ketochen echad, they're like one substance. Baal prakim shonim, that just kind of has different elements or different, you know, different aspects, right? Different compartments. Ba'az mimahera ta'ora shaladeya. And therefore, hamevia lidei tshuva lavo. And therefore, the light of knowledge that brings tshuva lavo is going to come. In other words, what Rav Kook is saying, I think, I haven't thought about this until right now, but I think what Rav Kook is saying is that if I was on my own, and if you were on your own, and if history was on its own, and everything was like on its own, so then it would take a long time. Because we all feed off each other, because everything's interconnected, we're all just like different compartments of the same whole, which based on everything we've said today, it makes a lot of sense. So then everyone's really contributing, and then, you know, once I improve my Shmir Shabbos, once I up my chesed, so then somebody else experiences in some way, either in a practical way or in a global way. And then when that community raises itself, and that country raises itself, and everything is interconnected, so he says, Mimaherit, it goes a lot faster that way. Hashem didn't want it to be as individual because it would take a long time. Wants Mashiach to come ASAP.
By the way, you-